Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and OsteoStrong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into Preds Insiders on this Monday evening. It is ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined this evening by Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, my good buddy. Justin, how we doing this evening?
Doing all right. It feels like fall outside, and it means dreary. The weather feels like fall. I'm pumped. It's almost October, and we're having the NHL draft come up. It's so weird.
Yeah, it's October here in just a few days, and the off season is just now getting underway, essentially.
It's so weird.
I know. Hashtag 2020.
Right.
There have been some trades go down in the hockey world. There has been a signing here in Nashville here in the last few days that we'll get to. But overall, just your thoughts on the Stanley Cup Final. Game 6 tonight could be the final game of the 19-20 NHL season, with the Tampa Bay Lightning leading the Dallas Stars 3-2 after Dallas kept their season alive Saturday night with their double overtime victory on the Corey Perry goal.
Oh, it just had to be him, right? It just had to be Corey Perry.
I wanted there to be a pregnant pause after I said Corey Perry just to see what your reaction was.
Oh my God, how frustrating. But it's one of those things that's why they brought him in, right? They brought him in for that veteran presence. And he's a guy that when you see him on the ice, he's going right towards the net and trying to screen the goalie. He's trying to cause havoc. He's doing his job. And he hate the guy as much, but he's doing his job, and he's contributing for the Dallas Stars. I know we all go back to the Winter Classic and the awkward walk of shame, the long awkward walk of shame for him. And as much as we hate him, he's doing his job for Dallas. And I know plenty of Dallas fans that don't care for him at all. But like, he can stay for a little bit for what he's done. But how weird that, of course, in the one back-to-back for the Stanley Cup Final, both those games go to overtime.
I know, right?
I can't imagine how exhausted those guys were. Yeah, travel not involved or anything, but still having back-to-back games go to overtime and then the game 5 going to double overtime like that. It's crazy to think about that. And the thought that keeps going through my head with this is that they're at that point, both teams, I'm sure, is just that they want to stay, but I can't imagine how much they're missing their families.
Yeah.
And how much they've been gone for such a long time now compared to every other team and the officials. I mean, and things like that. But granted, the families are there, but still, it's not normal for what they're dealing with. So it's going to be interesting because of the short offseason that we're going to have, that these guys, I mean, we saw the results come out from the NHL and the protocols that mini training camps can start in 2 weeks. I mean, they can start training off season in small groups together in just 2 weeks. And these guys are still playing the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
So it's just a grueling grind that they signed up to play, that they love playing, but the toll it's going to take on their bodies, I'm sure, is going to be a great one.
Yeah. Tampa Bay Lightning head coach John Cooper said earlier today that the best part of the off ice portion of the NHL bubble, the best part is going to be when they check out of their hotel rooms here in the next few days, whether that's tomorrow or Thursday after Game 7. But we'll get to that game here in just a little bit, Game 6 between the Lightning and Stars. You can hear that game tonight at the top of the hour at 7 o'clock on ESPN 94.9 or the Game Nashville app. So if you can't watch it, you can listen to it. Maybe, just maybe, we see the Stanley Cup come out of the case tonight and Tampa Bay hoist it, or there will be a Game 7 Wednesday night. All right, let's get to the news of the day, Justin. Now, last Thursday, Jakob Trenin was signed by the Nashville Predators to a 2-year, one-way contract, which was important given the fact that Trenin and his agent have been asking for the one-way contract and not a two-way deal that could end up having Trenin back in Milwaukee. So Trenin signs the 2-year, one-way contract last Thursday, worth $700,000 next season, $750,000 the season after. And then today, the Nashville Predators loaned Jakob Trenin to the KHL, joining Elli Tolvanen, who has also been loaned to the KHL, both until the 2020-21 NHL training camp period starts. So Jakob Trenin going to get some playing time overseas in the KHL, just like Tolvanen.
Yeah, he's going to SKA St. Petersburg. So basically the team that he was visiting, right? And
yeah.
They had a jersey and everything. And probably comes down to the fact that they just want to get him under contract before they went, yeah, sure, we'll on a loan. Okay. They want to get that settled because it just happens so quickly that it gets announced that he goes on loan. But I know people get a little antsy and when they hear KHL, especially when they hear a Russian team in the KHL and a Russian playing in the Russian Hockey League, for what could potentially happen there, because there's still that thing that makes your eye twitch when you hear Alex Radulov, whenever you hear that announced in the Stanley Cup final, you kind of go, but it's one of those things that it's going to be good for him because he didn't get playing time in the Stanley Cup qualifiers, just like Elie Tolvanen did. He took part in training camp, obviously, but he needs to get more playing time. I think this will be very helpful for him, just keeping game mode. And those are the two guys that are going to be battling for spots on this team. And they deserve spots now, I think, because there's openings that are going to happen. I know we're going to get to that too, but they're going to have to play for those and earn them with all the other guys that are competing against them as well. So this is a good opportunity for Trenin and for Tolvanen to get this extra playing time and to come into camp ready to go. They're not going to be, they shouldn't be out of shape. They should be in great shape. They should be in game mode and ready to compete, because again, it's not going to be a typical training camp. It's probably going to be shortened. You're probably not going to have the same number of preseason games to be able to evaluate. So they need to come in and impress. And you can tell the Predators are really relying on these kinds of guys to step up and be everyday players. Trenin obviously in the bottom six, but Tolvanen in the middle six, that they want and need him to be an every game player. And so this is one of those things that sets them up for both for success.
I think nothing bad can really come out of this unless Tolvanen and Trenin get hurt over right there in the KHL while they're being loaned. But you bring up the fact that Tolvanen and Trenin didn't play in the qualifiers. So if the NHL season starts on time in December, they would have gone 9 months without playing, you know, game action. So just to get that game action, potentially stay in game shape in the KHL, even though it's not over here on North American ice, I think can only serve a good purpose for these two players. And to your point, two players that are going to be battling for a roster spot whenever training camps do start in the National Hockey League. So let's look at Trenin's contract for a minute, though. Because 2 years, one-way contract, I thought maybe they would go the Freddie Gaudreau route, where Freddie Gaudreau's contract was a two-way deal for an X number of years, and then it turned into a one-way contract. I thought maybe they would go down that road with Trenin. Were you surprised that this was a flat-out two-year, one-way deal and that they didn't try to weave in a two-way season within this contract?
Surprised in the fact that David Poile wasn't able to accomplish it because usually David Poile has actually been pretty good about getting what he wants in contracts when you really see about the no movement clauses, the no trade clauses, and having those types of things and getting in weaseling his way out of them. Weaseling is probably the wrong word, but that's a weasel when you really think about it. To be able to talk a player agent out of that is a pretty good way of a general manager to do. So kind of surprised he wasn't able to get out of that, but 2 years is not too much of a risk, and especially the money involved is not too much of a risk. And I really do think, given the way this roster is going to play out and shake up, Trenin should be a guy that's playing at least three quarters of the season on the ice for the Predators. I mean, he's that type of player that even if it's in the fourth line, he should be playing every night. He's that kind of player. I don't see any reason why he shouldn't be on the ice with some of the roster shakeups that's needed, because he can be physical. And as long as he stays healthy, that's the thing that's kind of hurt him through his whole career, just staying healthy in that. But if he stays healthy, he should be on the ice every night in the bottom six. So I don't think it's much of a risk for $700,000, given what some other players are paid in this league to sometimes be a healthy scratch all the time, that it's a worthy risk for him. That's a way for him to prove it as well, to see what he can actually accomplish, giving consistent ice time. I think that's what he needs to further his development, is consistent time in the NHL. And that's why the KHL thing is going to help him to come in and be raring to go, because I think he's the kind of guy that you can expect, if once he's really raring and going, it would be totally fine to expect 20, 25 points out of him. Because he can be physical, he can get to those dirty areas, he can go to the front of the net, he can lay out the big hits, but he also has a little bit better scoring touch than Austin Watson. as well. And so to put him on the fourth line, I like that for him. And this is, I don't want to say a prove it contract because he's still young. There's nothing else to prove still, just that he's continuing to develop. And if it goes on from there, fine. But I don't foresee him really being sent down to the AHL unless some other player comes in to force their hand for roster spot purposes, or if injuries happen, it's like, sorry, we got to pay you $700,000 to play in Milwaukee. I just don't see that happening right now.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on The Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, joined by Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio here this evening. Again, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final coming up at 7 on ESPN 94.9. You can also hear it on The Game Nashville app. Coming up next, there was a period of time within the NHL offseason that started Friday. Could it mean something for the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that coming up next. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday by Dr. Kelly Rice. Visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd and Korean Veterans Boulevard. And Osteo Strong, Nashville. Ryan Porth joined by Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio here this evening. Game 6 of the Cup Final coming up at 7 on ESPN 94.9. And Justin, if tonight is the final game of the Stanley Cup Final, that means the offseason will essentially start right when the Tampa Bay Lightning hoist Lord Stanley Cup tonight. Or if there's a Game 7 Wednesday night, the offseason will commence after that game. But the offseason is essentially upon us. And Friday was the start of the NHL's buyout window, and it will go through October 8th. Now, that's not a lot of time for NHL GMs to make any sort of moves within that buyout window that they're trying to pull off, but I guess they've had a lot of time leading up to this buyout window, including the pandemic period of time, to figure out what they're going to do with certain players and buyouts. And I was looking on Sportsnet earlier today, and they have a story that came out late last week that was examining the NHL's top 14 buyout candidates for 2020. And on this list is Kyle Turris of the Nashville Predators. And the little snippet reads, David Poile is stuck in the unenviable position of suffering cap problems without a recent deep playoff run to show for it. The GM has swung big and missed with some pricey centers. Point blank, 3 seasons into his Predators tenure, Turris has not worked out, with 1 goal in 23 playoff games, woof, and 29 goals spread over 182 regular season appearances in Music City. We can't see anyone wanting to trade for Kyle Turris's contract. A Turris buyout would give Poile a do-over on this miss and save the franchise $4 million in cap space in each of the next 4 seasons. That was Sportsnet.ca. So, Justin, GM David Poile has until October 8th to decide whether or not he buys out Kyle Turris. What do you think the end game is here for number 8?
I still do not see him being on this roster next season in some form or fashion. I know that not many people are going to trade for his contract. He still has a place in the NHL, but not for $6 million like that. I'd see Kyle Turris right now is worth is probably closer to 3, given the right team, 3.5, something along those lines. But with what I'd prefer to see is still some sort of a trade compared to a buyout to get something in return, even if it's like we're going to hold on to $2 million and then just trade us a 6th. It just feels better that way. I know it's not much, but it just feels better. Instead of having to pay it out and that kind of money like that too. But if it comes to it, then I think it's one of those things you pull the trigger on it to reevaluate and you give some space, because he's just not finding it right now with the Predators. Now, granted, after Coach Hines took over, he seemed to be doing a little bit better, but it's still you couldn't find the right spot for him given how Matt Duchene came in, and Kyle Turris still really didn't seem to find the right fit. And we know what kind of players are needed for the wings on Duchene for him to be successful. And I don't think Kyle Turris was supplying that. And then there's the whole question too, of, well then where's Kyle Turris going to play? Especially if you end up keeping Nick Bonino, then he's pretty solid on the third line at center and fourth line. It seems Kyle Turris is not the right kind of center to have in the fourth line. He just really doesn't have a spot right now in this roster to make this team better overall going forward. And I hate it for him because he's been put in such a tough predicament with what he had to do with Peter Laviolette and having to play word games a little bit with media and then coaching change and still not be able to find the right spot for him. And then you bring in another center this offseason that past offseason that basically takes your spot for what you're supposed to do to be successful. He's been kind of through the ringer. Not, you know, it's not that like it's not no fault of his own. He just hasn't produced and he dealt with a little bit of injury as well. But at this point in time, with the Predators still trying to be competitive, I would buy him out, and it leaves you with some cap space to deal with things, and you let youth come in, or you see if there's – I'd love to see an offer sheet. I know it doesn't happen much nowadays, but I'd love to see an offer sheet potentially for some of these guys, like an Anthony Mantha maybe, and but still go young with these types of things, and there's still young talent in the Predators organization, and let it go. It's not a full rebuild. You still have your core, but give that spot to somebody else that you hope will come out and prove it.
Yeah, if you buy out Kyle Turris, if you're GM David Poile and you buy out Turris – The toughest pill to swallow of that is the fact that it would cost $2 million against the cap for the next 8 years. So we're talking about through 2028 that Kyle Turris would be counting against the salary cap, which the jokes would write themselves by about 2026 with Preds fans on Twitter and $2 million worth of cap space. The other part that's a tough pill to swallow, no matter how this ends this offseason, if Kyle Turris is time in Nashville ends this offseason, is the fact that you gave up so much to get him. But but with the fact that this salary cap is not going up here in the next couple of years, it's a flat salary cap, you can free up $4 million for the next 4 years. That $4 million can be used wisely and help find a good fit at either forward or defense for this Preds team. And Kyle Turris just has not been a good fit. He just has not been a fit the last couple seasons. And this is the time, I think we both agree, for the Preds to move on from Kyle Turris, whether you even have to trade him and give up something just to get rid of the contract, or you buy him out and you swallow that pill of having Turris against your cap through 2028.
It's a really difficult position to be in because, yeah, like you just said, what they gave up and wasn't even able to get what they really wanted.
Outside of the first 20 games.
Right, right. And then also Fiala was gone. So you traded away Fiala, which seemed to do overall well with Turris, but then that even faded away. So it's just, it hasn't been a good fit. And the thing that gets me and that stinks is that when Kyle Turris came to the Predators, it was a trade and sign. So he chose to come to Nashville. He chose to extend his contract with Nashville and say, yeah, you know, I really like this team. I want to be there, and chose to make that happen. And it stinks that it hasn't worked out because he basically came over as a traded free agent who made the decision to say, I want to spend this huge chunk of my career with the Nashville Predators. And unfortunately, it hasn't worked out. So I hate that part for him and his family. That has to go through this. That's the ills of the job that they go through. But it's frustrating to see what's going to happen because of the flat cap as well. It's putting the Predators in an insane predicament to make those decisions of, is it worth it to do this or this? And either way, you're still going to be feeling the burn for years to come. There's no quick fix to this. Like you said, 2028, that's a slow burn, a slow, slow burn. And even then, if they try to trade it and they have to eat some of the salary, they're still eating some salary.
Right.
Either way, there's no quick fix.
Right. Well, they were hoping Turris could be a quick fix for the second line. He was for 20 games and was very inconsistent and really took steps back within his game here in the next or in the last couple seasons, I should say. And other players that were brought in or have been tried on the second line for this Nashville Predators team, Mikael Granlund and Craig Smith, two unrestricted free agents this offseason. Granlund, we know the news came out a few weeks ago from Adam Vinken that Granlund's camp was going to test free agency. And then here in the last few days, it has been reported by Adam Vinken that Craig Smith will also test the free agent waters instead of re-signing with the Preds before that time. So, Justin, assuming that both of those players find new homes come next month when free agency opens around the National Hockey League, Where do you feel like that leaves the Preds in their middle six? Because Granlund was viewed as a guy on the second line that was going to make an impact. He didn't really make an impact out of a two-month stretch under John Hines. And Craig Smith has been – he has bounced from the second line to the third line a lot, just depending on the fit of the line here in the last 4 or 5 years as well. So where do you feel like this leaves the middle six for the Preds as they start the offseason?
Well, it leaves it with $10 million to spend. but this opens up the opportunity for guys like Philip Tomasino and Eli Tolvanen. That's really what it kind of does for them. And then when you think that if they're able to utilize these young guys on ELCs, you have this money to spend later on, whether you have this money in terms of cap, whether it's through trade or through something else, that you can say, we have some flexibility now that if we feel like we're missing one piece, we can go off and do this. We can pull the trigger on a few things because they have flexibility. Whereas lately they haven't had as much flexibility because they've been a cap team. And I cannot imagine with being a flat cap in the pandemic that Nashville right now can sustain being a cap team, especially without attendance. I know we're getting into way different details here, but we have to look at the actual finances as well, that they're definitely a gate, not gate based, but gate plays a huge role in the NHL. Gate plays a big role at the Predators. Selling out every game is big for them. All that kind of stuff there too. And that it's an ownership group, not one owner, that there's probably going to be some adjustments. And I think this works out in their favor that they don't have to make difficult decisions to get away from that top of the cap that they're being made for them, which helps a lot when you can bring young guys in, meaning they could be playing and having a team say $6 million below the cap and be totally fine for the time being as well, while they work back up to where they were. So I think this works out in their favor that they don't have to worry about going out and necessarily signing big time free agents or making that one big signing where, you know, you have the white whale that's always been, you know, teasing you. You have space now for young guys to come in. They know the pressure's on them. They have to perform. Eli Tolvanen and Philip Tomasino, those are two guys right there. I don't necessarily see Rem Pitlick being in the second line like that, but I think he could be a middle six player. He can perform. I think there's opportunity for some of these young kids to really come in and make a difference and know that they're being relied upon. And that's good, especially for a guy like Philip Tomasino who wants to come in and improve. If you put him on a line with Matt Duchene, then you're hopefully setting them both up for success. And especially Eli Tolvanen, that you want to be sure to get him the puck. If you have guys that are willing to shoot and make plays happen, and that's what Matt Duchene seems to gravitate more towards now, is making plays happen instead of shooting. That's fine with Eli Tolvanen. If he can get open to his sweet spot, then hopefully goals will happen with that. So that's what I kind of foresee, what I'd like to see as well. Maybe you're making a signing in free agency that's more of a veteran guy that, you know, you're not guaranteeing him a lot, but it's to kind of fill in roster space or even just to push the young kids a little bit harder to go during training camp too. But I would just prefer to see this team go young.
There are three moves that I would really like to see the Preds make this offseason, and we'll get to those next. And it relates to the road that you're going down with the second line and Mr. White Whale, Matt Duchene. And I think we're both going to agree on these moves that we both think that the Preds should make this upcoming offseason, which starts in a week to 10 days. That's all coming up next. We'll get to that on Preds Insiders. He's Justin Bradford. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth here with you alongside Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. Game six of the Stanley Cup Final coming up at 7. Got the game number and the time of the coverage, Justin, mixed up. If the Stars win tonight, there will be a Game 7 Wednesday night on 102.5 The Game. But tonight, Game 6, Lightning lead the series 3-2. We'll discuss that series coming up here as we get closer to the top of the hour. But Justin teased before the break that there are three moves that I think the Preds need to make this offseason. And I think we both agree on these three moves. So number one, we'll kind of continue the conversation from last segment, and that is I really feel like the Preds need to find a forward outside of this organization that will complement Matt Duchene. I don't think you can really go into next season with anyone like Kalle Yarncroak or Colton Sissons playing a second-line role. Those are bottom six forwards. you have to go out and find somebody with this cap space that is likely going to be freed up by Mecole Granlund and Craig Smith entering free agency and finding new teams. You have got to go out and find somebody who's going to complement Matt Duchene, and specifically somebody who is going to have the style of play to park in front of the freaking net, because I'm tired of watching this Predators team try to manufacture offense without having a rear end sitting in front of an opposing goalie. So my number one need for this Preds team this offseason in terms of moves that David Poile needs to make is finding a forward that A, complements Matt Duchene, and B, gets to the net.
I'm kidding here, but I mean, the free agents coming up are Colin Wilson and Jimmy Vesey.
Get excited, people. Get excited.
No, there are a few names out there that could potentially be free agent signings. And with Granlund and Smith hitting the free agency market, and I wouldn't shut the door on Smith. Honestly, I think they want to test it to see, but they could still come back to Nashville, because I'm assuming Nashville's probably just said, look, this is the max. This is what we're going to do. We'd love to have you back, but we can't go any higher than this. That's what I'm fully assuming Poile and management have said to Smith's side, which I totally get. But I think they want to test the waters to see, because he's only known Nashville, so might as well test to see what the market's like out there. And there's probably a market for a guy like him that's consistent. But I'd say if there's not anything that's totally viable to them, Smith, maybe you Nashville Predator again next season. But there's other names that potentially could be out there. Off air, we talked Alex Galchenyuk, who's been all around, but he's still – he produces. He doesn't produce at a $4.9 million cap hit type of production, so I'm assuming he'd probably be signing for less. People ask about Mike Hoffman. I think there's too much baggage with Mike Hoffman. Even though I know he produces, I really prefer not to see that part of this team, the baggage that he carries with him. Tyler Toffoli, he's young. He produces as well. He's at 4.6. He's probably going to get a little bit of a raise. Max Domi is an RFA. Who knows what Montreal's going to do there? I mean, there's been talks about potentially trading him. I'm not sure on that. Then I even mentioned throwing out the talk about Anthony Mantha, offer sheeting him to Detroit. Detroit's just in a weird position right now. How awful is it that you suck so bad as Detroit and you still don't get the top two picks? One of the top two picks. So I think there's some names out there that could complement Matt Duchene well. And I talked about some of the ones I mentioned. Max Domi, not one of them. He's not a big dude, but he's a pest kind of guy. But the Predators, like we've said multiple times in the show, they need a guy that is a jerk, that can be a pest, but also produce. And I'm not saying any of those guys are jerks, but a guy like Max Domi, I mean, not that he's anything like his father, but he can be a pest on the ice and can get under player's skin a little bit, but also knows how to produce. So I'd be all aboard the Max Domi train, even though I highly doubt it's going to happen. And I know Robbie Stanley would probably like interviewing him as well, because they have something much in common.
Yes, they do.
So there's some guys out there that I would be okay with. I just don't want to see this team spend a lot of money to give somebody a raise and feel like that this is their one missing piece or anything else. I prefer to see them bring a player in that is fairly established, that is not coming in thinking that they are getting a deserved raise because of all the time they put in this league or the points they produced. Honestly, I'd rather see them get a forward that was probably getting paid a little too much on their previous contract and is taking like a half mil or 1 million hit on it, so they feel like they have more to prove. That's what I think has been one of the things missing with this team lately too, is that a lot of guys have felt safe in their roster spots. And I'm not saying they've consciously thought this, but subconsciously competition is very important, and having to battle for your spot, to earn your spot, to earn where you need to be on the roster is very important. And you know, a guy like Hines and Hinote are going to be all about that, given where they've coached in development programs, where there's always a battle that needs to ensue. So I think the more that they can do to make sure battles are being ensued for roster spots, the better this club can be, because they actually have to challenge each other to be better.
I've said this before earlier this offseason, but a team to watch in terms of a potential trade partner would be the Tampa Bay Lightning, because mm-hmm. if the Lightning are to re-sign their RFAs in Mikhail Sergachev and Anthony Cirelli, two players that have played so well on their run to being one win away from the Stanley Cup, those are two players that are going to get a major raise, and the Lightning are up against the cap in a big way this offseason. So they have players on their roster that they are going to have to give up, probably one Or at least one, probably two forwards, just to make room for Sorelli and Sergachev under the cap. But the flip side of that, you, Justin, have been saying all hour about trying to get younger at forward. If you go out and trade for one of Tampa Bay's forwards, you are likely getting older with a trade like that. Alex Killorn, past 30. Andre Palat isn't all that young. Those are two players that come to mind that Tampa Bay might be looking to move just to create space for those signings. So that is one team to keep an eye on as we enter the offseason here coming up in the next 7 to 10 days. All right, the number one move we want to see is them finding a forward that can complement Duchesne and give them a relevant second line outside of Jofa offensively. The number two thing, we've already touched on this, you have to find a way to get rid of number eight. And it's nothing against Kyle Turris personally. It is the fact that his contract is so much dead weight against the cap. It's the fact that he's a square peg in a round hole when you look at the depth chart. If you play him at second line center, then you're putting Duchesne on the wing. He's not a winger. He's a center. If you put Turris on the wing, he's not a wing. And then if you look at Turris as a fourth line center, he's not a fourth line center. It just hasn't made much sense for Turris to be on this roster after they signed Matt Duchesne last offseason. So number two for me is getting rid of Kyle Turris.
Somehow, some way, hopefully you get something in return. Highly unlikely, but shoot, I would even be better if it was for future considerations. Just feel like you get something in return.
Yeah, exactly. And it could be a situation where they found themselves in, what was it, back in 2010, 2011, when they had to trade away Cody Franzen to Toronto just to get rid of Matthew Lombardi's contract.
Oh, gosh, I remember that.
It might be something along those lines. If they are to trade Turris, they are going to have to give up an asset along with the contract just to get rid of the contract. So that is something to keep an eye on with the Nashville Predators here in the next seven to ten days. And then number three is finding a veteran defenseman. And they have signed veteran defensemen almost every single offseason, it seems like, to play on the third pair, whether it's Scott Hannon back in the day, whether it's Anton Volchenkov, whether it's Dan Hamhuis. They have gone through a litany of veteran defensemen on the back end. But, Justin, the way I'm thinking about finding a veteran defenseman is complimenting Matthias Ekholm on a second pair and taking pressure off Dante Fabbro for a season or two and having Fabbro play on the third pair, or a veteran D-man can play on the third pair and start the season there in case Fabbro doesn't take a next step in his second full NHL season. So I would like to see the Preds put a little bit more of an investment in a veteran defenseman than they have been here in the last few years.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, one that stands out, I'm sure he's going to have a few more suitors given his performance during the Stanley Cup playoffs. Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yep.
Is one that stands out to me. He is on a 1 year with Tampa for 1.75. He's obviously playing like he's worth more than 1.75, which his previous contract was with the Rangers. He was making 6.65 was the cap hit.
Yikes.
6.65. He was bought out. So you think about it, he's making a ton of money this year after and next year too, because it was a 2 year buyout. He's bought out for the two seasons after two seasons with the New York Rangers. And so the 1.75 is nothing to him, what he's making from Tampa Bay. And he's had a pretty good season and a pretty good postseason as well. I mean, in 70 games, he had 34 points, which is way more than you'd expect from a defenseman making 1.75 mil. And he's going to be deserved a raise, but I think it's one of those things that if you're signing him, you sign him to a 2 year deal, and it's another type of prove it thing. But he's older, obviously. He's 31, so a 2 year deal, get him to 33, so it's not too bad. I think his camp would be looking at something like probably a 3 or 4 potentially to be his last contract, or per se, or his last before his last. But he would be one of those guys that I think would do well, and he'd be worth throwing a little bit of money at, because the way he can perform, he fits in, it seems, well with being this evolution of defenseman where he can be a little bit mobile. We've seen him obviously activate a lot from the blue line for Tampa Bay. You know, granted, he has a pretty good support staff there too. They're a very talented team, but he's one of those guys. Another one that's different than him, obviously, is Zach Bogosian, also the Tampa Bay Lightning. we're looking at Tampa Bay, I think, as being Chicago from the early 2010s, and how they're going to have to lose a lot of people, because if they win the cup, then it's worth it, right?
Exactly.
So, I mean, his cap hit this year is 1.3. He's probably going to be worth not necessarily a raise, but he came in over from Buffalo, obviously, to help cement the Tampa Bay blue line. So he's another one of those guys. And then another one, not necessarily that was full of production, but who has been in the league for a while, for me, is Trevor Van Riemsdyk. And he's just a guy that's been playing in this league for a while now, since 2014, and especially since 2015. So he's been in the league for a while. I think there's one of those guys that has played for two different teams. So he knows what it's like to play for multiple teams out there. The cap hit wouldn't be too big on him. Those would be my three prospects. I'm sure there's plenty more out there and plenty of people that don't agree with me, but I think Kevin Shattenkirk would be a good one to look at to help solidify that second pairing and to give Dante Fabro more time to develop. Obviously, just like with Seth Jones, would have preferred Fabro on the third pairing to start out. He was thrown to the wolves in a lot of ways, which, I mean, helps him develop quickly, but he was put in some really difficult situations. So whatever can be done to help him in his development, as well as some young guys filling in the third pairing that have been in the system, the better.
Couple names to keep an eye on there. One is Kevin Shattenkirk, like you said, the owner of one of the best Twitter handles of all time, and I will leave it at that. Coming up next, it is the Dallas Stars and the Tampa Bay Lightning coming up at the top of the hour in Game 6 of the Cup Final. Yes, the Lightning are one win away, but the Stars are two wins away. Do Preds fans care about that? The fact that the Dallas Stars are two wins away from winning the Stanley Cup. We'll get into that coming up next. It's Preds Insiders with Ryan Porth, Justin Bradford, here on this Monday evening, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Ryan Porth here with Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio. You can catch him Wednesdays at 7. Unless there's a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, then it will be Thursday at 7. So keep that in mind when thinking about wanting to listen to Penalty Box Radio and crew coming up later this week. Now, Justin, the Tampa Bay Lightning can win the Stanley Cup tonight just like they could have won it Saturday night in overtime. Now, when you think of their opponent, the Dallas Stars are now two wins away after winning Saturday night's Game 5 to keep their season alive. And last season, 2019, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup in Game 7. If the Stars win the Cup, they would be doing the same thing, winning it in Game 7 against an Eastern Conference powerhouse. And I do wonder, Justin, whether Preds fans care that the Dallas Stars are two wins away from making it back-to-back seasons in which your Central Division rival would be winning a Stanley Cup. What do you think about that?
I mean, if they say they don't care, they're lying. Yeah, I mean, they should care. You should care that your division is continuing to beat up on you and finding a way to win and that your team can't. They should care about that. They should care that Colorado is obviously showing that they're going to be good for years to come in the skill class that they have. The team they probably shouldn't care much about is Minnesota Wild. but and then you have Chicago, who is being competitive, and we saw them be competitive in the qualifier at least, and they have some good young talent as well with Chicago. So Preds fans should absolutely care what the rest of the division is doing, be a little bit jealous, be frustrated as well, and continuing to hope that this team somehow can find a way to reopen that window a little bit wider than what it was a couple years ago, especially knowing that some players are not going to be returning soon. Pecorine is going to be retiring very soon. He is getting near the end of his career. And then you start looking ahead at some contracts as well for some core players that they're probably not going to be around. They're going to lose another player to the expansion draft, and it could be another big-name player depending on the forwards they want to protect. I mean, there's been the talks of potentially Mathias Ekholm being exposed. It'd be tough to see this team without him, given how good he's been the past few seasons as well. So I hope they care, because the frustration level should be there, that a Dallas team that kind of has that feel of the 2017 Predators, of that quote unquote team of destiny type of thing, because they're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with multiple things, and they've continued to find ways to win when they really have needed to throughout these injuries, kind of like what Predators did a little bit in 2017, where the roster wasn't always talked about, but they found ways to win and to squeak things out. And Dallas is kind of doing that. And you have guys that weren't even, it wasn't even Tyler Seguin that was leading this squad. It was guys that you're just learning the names of for the Dallas Stars that have made things happen, just like what happened with the Predators in 2017. That's what makes it an interesting story to talk about. Tampa Bay was expected to be there. The expectations were there from themselves, from fans, from ownership, from everything. They're expected to be there last season, and then Columbus came and rang the cannon on them. But the expectations were there for Dallas. That's what makes it a special run for them. So you should absolutely be frustrated that you have these clubs that Dallas could potentially win their second cup, and the Predators still have zero. That St. Louis finally got theirs, even after 40 years of existence. So the frustration should absolutely be there. I hope people care about it. I hope people are at least paying attention to it and continuing to hold everyone accountable, because that's what's important to them.
So I said this a lot last year at this, not at this time, because the Blues and Bruins were not playing for the Stanley Cup at this time a year ago. But back in June of 2019, I was pretty vocal about Preds fans not rooting for the Blues because you don't want to root for your rival. Like, I've been huge on that in just sports as a whole, not just the National Hockey League. And I would say the Stars are even more of a rival because of a lot of the playoff hatred that has been built up from last year. You had the Winter Classic. Those two teams clearly do not like each other, and they've had a lot of spirited battles here in the last couple calendar years. So for me, I absolutely do not want to see Alexander Radulov raise the cup. I absolutely do not want to see Corey Perry raise the Stanley Cup for a second time in his career after he won it back in Anaheim back in 2007. But I think this is where maybe it's an even harder pill to swallow whether the Stars win it or not. You had the Blues win it last season. You have the Stars representing the West this season. And you think back to after the 2018 postseason, you get beat in Game 7 against the Winnipeg Jets, and you're thinking that this team is still in its window. It is still, you know, the best years are still ahead, that they are going to be competing for a Stanley Cup in the next 3 to 5 years. And now 2 years have gone by. You have not won a single playoff series, and you have seen St. Louis win the Cup, and Dallas is now two wins from the Cup. Two division rivals that you don't want to see have success are having success in seasons in which you expected to have success.
My, how the turntables.
Yes. So I guess that's just my thought on the situation. It's not, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, these divisions are huge now. I mean, starting in 21-22, you're going to have 8 teams per division. It's not like, you know, the schedule is so spread out. You're only playing these teams 4 or 5 times a year. It's not what it once was with 5 teams per division. You're playing each other 8 times a year. But at the same time, these are the teams that you have to go through to get to the end goal. And these are the teams having the success, and you're not. So just a quick thought there on kind of the big picture of what's gone on in the Central Division and the Stanley Cup playoffs here in the last couple of years. Again, Lightning Stars coming up top of the hour at 7 o'clock on ESPN 94.9. The Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher coming up at 7 on 102.5 The Game. Now, Justin, Lightning Stars Game 6, is the Cup won tonight, or do we have a Game 7 on Wednesday night?
I think Tampa Bay finishes it off in regulation.
Oh, okay. That would be an upset because the Lightning have won each of the first 3 series via overtime. With a series clincher. And with Dave Mishkin losing his ever-loving mind on the Tampa Bay Lightning radio network while they do so. So you're saying that Mishkin isn't going to have an overtime call plus Stanley Cup call all wrapped in one. It's just going to be one, here's the final call.
Yeah, I hope to God not.
I hope to God for all of Tampa Bay's sports radio listeners and their eardrums.
That's exactly what I would say translates to mine, except some words are probably not fit for air.
There you go. So you expect Tampa Bay tonight to beat the Dallas Stars?
To finally come out and take care of business. I know Dallas has had a lot going for them, but there's still plenty of injuries for the Dallas Stars. I know that one day of rest obviously helps both teams out, but I still see Tampa just overall given their talent. Dallas has fought valiantly, but I still cannot see them forcing the game seven.
So if Tampa Bay wins, who wins the Conn Smythe?
Ooh. That's a tough question.
All right, not Steven Stamkos. Although his goals per minute on ice is at a catastrophic level in a good way, with one goal in like what 2 minutes of ice time in game three.
Right.
All right, here would be my pick. If the Lightning win tonight, it's Victor Hedman, and I haven't seen any of what the writers have posted on websites or on Twitter of who are the Conn Smythe favorites. Honestly, I have not been watching every second of the Stanley Cup Final or the playoffs in the last couple rounds. Mm-hmm. I've had a baseball team of mine that has diverted a lot of attention away from watching hockey as well as some college and NFL football. But when I have watched, which has still been a lot, Victor Hedman to me has been the best player on the ice for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's not leading them in points. But Victor Hedman has been a game changer on both sides of the ice. He makes it look so easy out there. He makes the complicated look easy. If I were a voter, I would give it to Victor Hedman to win the Conn Smythe.
Okay. I think I'd be going with Braden Point, even though Kucherov is leading by one in terms of points overall. Braden Point has scored some very timely goals. So that's why I'd go with him.
Okay. All right. So you would go with Point. I would go with Hedman. It could be Kucherov. They have a lot of candidates on that Lightning roster who have played at a high level during this Stanley Cup run. We will see if they hoist the cup tonight or if there will be a Game 7 Wednesday night between the Lightning and the Stars. Justin Bradford of Penalty Box Radio, thank you as always for joining me here on Preds Insiders, and enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
For Justin Bradford, I'm Ryan Porth. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Preds Insiders. We'll be back at it next Monday at 6 right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.